No, my wife told me that I had to be home on time today because I have to do the cooking today at noon. I'm going to be grilling. First time ever. Chicken cordon bleu. From scratch. Is there a recipe for that? I'd like to know it. she asked for it, so I'm going to do the cooking. Our scripture lesson today is from Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 5 through 8. And from chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 17 through 24. Invite you to follow along with me as we read the scriptures together. Before we do, let's ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, what a rich privilege it is for us this morning to be able to open your word, to be able to read it together, to be able to hear it explained to us. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we understand your word. And so, Lord, I would just ask that every word that I speak this morning would be filled with your truth, and that as we meditate upon these words, your words, that your name would be honored, we may glorify you. Bless us as we study together, we pray. Amen. Let us hear the word of God as we read from Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Then to Joshua 4th chapter, verse 17. So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first of the month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to Jordan just as he had done to the Red Sea, when it dried up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." May God add his richest blessings to these, his most holy words, as we read them together this morning. Well, as Al referred to, this is a time of the year in which is the unofficial beginning of the summer season. And also it's the time in which we kind of feel like it's the rite of passage to go camping, go on vacation, go and do other things. It's kind of the beginning of the vacation season. It's true with my family. I have three children. They all live in Sioux Falls. None of them are there today. One is flying out to California this morning, happened to text me as they were getting ready to fly out. I didn't appreciate that too much. The time was quite early. I have a daughter coming back from Minneapolis today, and I have a daughter driving to someplace in Iowa for a gathering today. How come I can't go away? Well, I am. I'm here. And I love to be here with you. In all seriousness, this is I love to come out and share the word of God with you. But everybody's kind of on the move. And this is kind of that first time where we get to go out and enjoy life. It's been kind of a colder little time in the springtime. We're waiting for that warm temperature. And so now we have the freedom to go. Let's be on the move. But is this really what Memorial Day is all about? I get it that there's a time in which we want to express ourselves and just really kind of enjoy life and go camping or relaxing, whatever, grilling hot dogs. But there's also a time on Memorial Day weekend that I want us to really understand what this weekend is all about. And I have a fear sometimes that our children, this next generation and our grandchildren, do not really understand or appreciate what's going on with Memorial Day weekend. Started in the late, about the mid-1800s, where a few ladies got together and decided that they wanted to decorate the graves of their loved ones. They would bring flowers, they would bring things that would kind of decorate where their loved ones were. From there, it branched out to recognizing service people and decorating their graves with a U.S. flag. In fact, it was, how many of you remember Decoration Day? Yeah, it was Decoration Day. On Decoration Day, Mom and Dad said, you're going to the cemetery with us. And so we dressed up, we went and visited the graves of their parents, and then we went to hear the band play, and we heard rifles shoot, and some of us would chase after the shell casing, see if we could get a shell casing. There was always a speaker that would speak, the band that would play. As I grew older, I was part of that band, and I would play in the band as we would get together on Decoration Day. And I've been blessed with honor to be asked on two different occasions to be the speaker. One time in Minnesota, one time in Iowa, to be that speaker talking on Memorial Day. We honor our service people. We honor those who have given their life for our country. And yes, we remember and we are comforted as we think of loved ones. Just this past Wednesday, my wife and I went to the cemetery and stood at the grave of her youngest brother, who was a young man, fit, healthy, got COVID, passed away a year ago. And so you get into those situations where that's kind of a time with you remember and it hurts and there's a little bit of a pain there. But it's also a time in which we remember the faithfulness of God throughout the generations. And that's what we need to remember. The whole theme of my message this morning is let's not forget God. I think there's so many opportunities for people to forget that there's a God. We tend to not remember what God has done for us, how important God is before us. And so if you get anything out of it this morning, remember these words. Please don't forget God on Memorial Day. And please don't forget God any day of the year. Our lesson this morning begins to talk to us about memorials. How Joshua was called by God to lead his people into a promised land. That happened as we read in back in Numbers chapter 13, how Joshua and Caleb went out with 10 other spies, there's 12 of them all together, and they went into this promised land of Canaan. And they would come back and give a report to the people. And so they would give this report and say, boy, we were into this land. I mean, it's really flowing with milk and honey. This is a great and wonderful place. We can't wait to get there. But 10 of the guys said, we won't be able to go. Well, why not? Because there's giants there. There's all kinds of bad people that are going to do us in if we ever try to go there. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we went to the same place. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But we're able to go there because God will be our strength. God will be with us. We have nothing to fear. Who won? The 10 spies that made the report and said, "We can't take this," kind of charged up the Israelite people, and they began to grumble against Moses, and they're upset that how in the world would we be leaving Egypt and now we're going to be journeying into a land and we're just going to get slaughtered, we're going to get killed. And because of their mistrust of God, because they forgot God in that moment, God said that none of them, that whole generation, would not go into the promised land. In fact, 10 of those spies died of a plague. Only Joshua and Caleb survived, were not stricken. They forgot the presence of God. And you would say, why would they? Why they were with God, they were delivered from the Egyptians. But put yourself in some situations sometimes, it's pretty easy to forget God. When the pressures mount and disappointments come before us, there's always that time which we would say, oh, I wonder if it would have been different this way. We too are sometimes people guilty of forgetting about the presence of God. We also stand in sometimes those situations where it seems like we're never going to be able to overcome this. How do we work through this? How are we going to respond to life situations that really are heavy for us? I think of people in Texas today. Their Memorial Weekend will be changed forever. It'll never be the same. When they think about this mass shooting and the innocent lives of little children and some teachers, that's heavy to get over with. How do you deal with that kind of stuff? And yet, I am blessed to see, sometimes for the first time in a long time, the news reporters that would be reporting and showing people praying with each other. Did you notice that? There's people huddled together and there's somebody praying for them. I'm touched to understand that Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's organization, sent out, I think, like 12 chaplains to that place. I don't know how he does that. And he is so blessed by God to be able to do this. As they're working in Ukraine and they're working now in Texas, and they have those resources to just plug in there. And there's chaplains there offering comfort. There's people there steering them into understanding God is present. We don't understand that. We probably never will. But when the heat comes on and when there's difficulties and disappointments, do we cut and run? Or do we go to our Savior? That's the choices we have. Do we cut and run away? Or do we say, God, please help me in the midst of all that's going on? I have to be honest with you sometimes, or not sometimes, most of the time lately, I fear for a nation that I love. I deeply respect our veterans. I deeply respect our military. Yet I'm concerned about what's going on in the country that I love because a lot of people don't do that. I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure you understand as well. There's a lot of people that are just going through life on their own. In no way do they want to turn to God. In fact, they want to blame God. They want to do it themselves. Let's show disrespect. Let's not have any respect for our police. Let's criticize them. Let's just do it on our own. You have a feeling, so what? Our feeling is more important. It's talked about that the decision of the Supreme Court is coming down one of these days in which probably the abortion issue is going to be hotly contested again because they will probably say something in the lines that abortion is not a federal issue. It's an individual issue. And those of us who believe that life is sacred, that when God creates a life, that it's very precious to Him, that life should not be ended. But the other, but you try to tell that to another person who feels that they want to have abortions on demand. They have a right to speak up. But we're told to keep quiet. I notice this when sometimes Tim Tebow, a professional athlete, speaks up about his Christian values, how he's so criticized. I think of Phil Robinson of the Duck Dynasty. Remember that show a few years ago? He's outspoken as he speaks about homosexuality, that it's a sin. And boy, does he get criticized. He's got to keep quiet. And yet we would offer a comment about somebody who they wonder why he would be drafted into a football team and he's not very good. And they've put out all the reasons why that he shouldn't really be drafted because he's not all that good. Oh, you're against his gay feelings. That's why you're criticizing. You see, people are forgetting God. And I'm concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about how we have gone so far down and not acknowledging the presence of God. Again, I would say, don't forget God. Don't forget God any day of the week, because God is totally involved in our lives, even helping us get through situations that seem almost unbearable. Joshua was commanded by God to say, you take the ark, and you go step into the waters, and when you take your foot and you step into the water, the water's going to part, and there will be dry land. It's recorded here that when the water came back, it came back to the flood stage. That tells me that there's a lot of water there. The floodwaters would part ways, and they would walk into the river with the ark. Why the ark? Ever wonder why that ark was so important? The ark was a memorial in some sense, that it made you think about who God is. Nothing magical about it. But when you saw the ark, you were reminded that God is very present. And that God, that ark would go before them in the day and would go before them at night, and they would know God's presence was there. And so they would step into that water with that ark. People would acknowledge that they are following God. God is doing this. And then Joshua says, as you go through the water, one of you from each of the tribes of Israel, you take up a stone, because we're going to build an altar on the other side. And so they walk through the water, and as soon as the last foot didn't touch the riverbed anymore, the waters came back. Can you imagine that scene? That would be amazing to see that happening. And to be there and be a part of that. To see the tremendous power of God. And so they walk through the water. The waters come back. They come to a place where they're going to make the memorial. And they take the 12 stones and they build this little altar. Why the 12 stones? One from each tribe? So that everybody would know. Every person, a child of God, the Israelites, every person would know they're important to Almighty God. Nobody left out. And then it was said, Joshua said to them, you place that altar there, and when the children come, when your descendants come upon you, and they say, what are those 12 stones there for? Ah, you have an opportunity to preach a sermon. You have the opportunity to say to them, this is a time in which we remember the tremendous presence of God. In fact, let me read that for you. They were not to remember the crossing of the water, or the riverbed. They were not to remember, it doesn't say that they were to remember that there was an ark that went before them, but this is what you remember. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan. That's what you remember. The next verse. For the Lord your God did to the Jordan just as he had done to the Red Sea. What are they to remember? The Lord their God. When you go through a time in which you remember, as a Memorial Day would call us to that, and you remember the sacrifices of those in the military who faced a lot of uncertainties, who faced on the battlefields scary times, who faced the threat of death, you remember bravery overcame fear. These people, I can't say all of them were Christian people, but many of them remembered that God was delivering them. God was leading them. God was supporting them. And when you get to Memorial Day, you remember our service people, you remember the tremendous presence of God in their lives and what they were going through. It's important on Memorial Day that we never forget the presence of God. God is with us. God is helping us go through any situation in life. God is present in this church. God is at work around us, doing great things each and every day. That's why I say it's important on Memorial Day, remember God. But I want to tell you, every day of the week, please don't forget God. God is the one we honor. God is the one we give thanks to for all that he has done for each and every one of us. Please, please don't forget God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Your word that is so true. So important for us that even on a Memorial Day, we would be able to turn to the scriptures and see that memorials were a part of biblical times as well. And people would know, people would understand all the things you were doing for them. Like the Israelites, there were times in which they forgot you. They tried to go on their own. And yet you would bring them back and they would understand. Help us, Heavenly Father, every time that we would be tempted to forget about you, try to do things on our own, or try to call attention to ourselves, that you would bring us back to the time in which we remember that we serve a risen Savior, that the presence of God goes before us each and every day. Help us to always remember you. I ask this in your name. Amen.